Welcome to Thinking Reimagined.
Thinking Reimagined is a unique platform for thoughts-provoking intergenerational dialogue
in a diverse and inclusive setting with a focus on impactful change
in the global workplace and community.
Our stakeholders' conversations aim to spark thought,
leadership,
curiosity,
engagement,
collaboration, and learning
amongst individuals, teams, and beyond.
Enjoy this episode. And subscribe to Thinking Reimagined on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Spotify, and other outlets. Hello, everyone, and welcome to a very special edition of Thinking Reimagined in collaboration with Savitas UK. As the executive producer of, and host, I should say, of Live Abundantly production Thinking Reimagined, and the global ambassador for Savitas UK, I am so pleased to have you join us today in person and also virtually as we are being streamed. Hopefully we are being streamed on LinkedIn, Facebook, as well as YouTube. Today is a very special day because for the first time, we're actually having a platform on the African continent for World Business Women's Day. It is the fourth edition, and I wish to acknowledge Helene Martin-Gee, the founder of Savitas, as well as Sue Lawton, the chair of the World Business Women's Day. I'm thrilled to have a selection, or a cross-section, I should say, of women across the continent of Africa. And today's question is a really powerful one. If you had 24 hours global power, what would you do for women in your sector, in your region? Very powerful statement. And I know that you've had a chance to listen to my response. The reason this platform is important is because we want to amplify what each and every one of you is doing within your communities, your workplaces, but also most importantly, the regions. And we believe that collaboration and partnership is very critical to our work. And so we want to, of course, acknowledge the partnerships that we formed today and make sure that we continue to amplify women's issues in the workplace, in the society, but most importantly, the policies that guide what we do. I truly would like to have a genderless world if I had 24-hour power, because I think it will change the way we interact, the way we do business, the policies that come to front, and it will amplify the successes of all, because each person will have the resources that are necessary to really attain and achieve what they truly and passionately desire for themselves, for their businesses, their families, and their community. I would like to start by acknowledging my team, starting with my co-producer, Peter Amanboyo. Thank you very much for supporting us over the last 3 years. My co-host, Nifemi, and of course, Daniel, who is our intern that works with us and managing all of the logistics. So ladies, gentlemen, welcome to a very special edition. Nifemi, here we are on another day, another week, with a very powerful question that I hope resonates and goes beyond today's conversation. Thank you. How are you?
I'm terrific. It's indeed a special episode. And if we were to be living in your dream for a minute, there won't be ladies and gentlemen here. Remember, it's a genderless world.
Yes.
Our model today speaks to the essence of global collaboration for business success. And I'm sure you'll be able to actively participate in the process, idea practically impacting and influencing international policy. I want to welcome you once again, and also very quickly introduce moderators to you. As delegate with the Consul General of Denmark in Lagos and a long-time front runner on the topic of gender and diversity in leadership, Yete Yeron. One of the few things I've been learning is how to pronounce names. So in case I don't get the pronunciation right, please be free to correct me. Yeti is a trained MBA, wrote her dissertation on women in leadership, and holds an extensive management background from private and public sector positions, as well as business operations and pharmaceuticals, life science, and bio-ingredients industry. In regards to gender and diversity in leadership, Mrs. Yerim has lived and worked in Europe, Latin America, India, and we're glad to have her now in Nigeria. Thank you for joining the podcast.
Thank you so much.
We also have Ngozi Uyewole, President, Commonwealth Businesswoman Africa, an accomplished entrepreneur, founded Naxin Limited some 20 years ago with specialization in furniture production and personal protective equipment. She's a result-driven, resilient, and ace woman entrepreneur with extensive experience in leadership, business management, strategic planning, and mentoring. She's currently undergoing a fellowship program at Vita Voices Global Partnership in the US. Mrs. Ngozi Uyewole, you're welcome. And also joining us is Angela Emua, a seasoned veteran in the Nigerian publishing industry, serving as the current chairman.
We can't have a chairman if it's a woman, and also, let's be genderless today. She's the chair.
Especially now that we're in the genderless, well, we'll see if your idea makes it to be the big one. But I'll allow you have that. Chair of Nigeria's leading newspaper publishers, Punch Nigeria Limited. Over the years, she's worked with Newswatch Communications Limited, Africa Today, and News Africa. She's a member of the Board of Trustees of Disabilities Foundation, ICD Nigeria, and a co-founder and collaborator of the Dawn Project, an environmental conservation organization. She has quite a number of feathers on her cap, and if I keep going, we're not going to end. But let's welcome Mrs. Emua for joining us on the podcast today.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome. Olakeji Obekwe also joins us, a seasoned business leader, filmmaker, sustainability professional with keen interests in women empowerment, access to quality education and better healthcare, as well as youth development. She currently oversees all operations and initiatives at the Sterling One Foundation, a social change vehicle focused on tackling the root causes of poverty in Nigeria. If you listen to previous episodes of Thinking Reimagined, you will hear a very fine mind and a top-notch analysis on various topics. Olakeji Obekwe, thank you for joining us again.
Thank you for having me.
All right, so Dr. Emua, correct me if I'm wrong. Is the Honorable Commissioner live with us right now?
No, Folashade is not with us, so we can start by having the moderators respond to the question.
What about Bosayo Balogun? I think
she
I saw
was
her earlier.
Here. I did see her earlier, perhaps. Oh, there she is. She is here with us.
All right. Yes. Impact lawyer, general counsel, and company secretary at the British Council. She was governance and sustainability supervisor, as well as a governance officer with Owando PLC. Bosayo Balogun Augusta, thank you for joining us. You heard from
you.
Dr. Emua. Fantastic. Thank you so much. Dr. Emua is Chair Africa Sustainable Trade, the immediate past chairperson of the British Business Group Nigeria. She's also Global Ambassador with Savitas, an award-winning thought leadership hub with an increased international presence and vital work in women's leadership and entrepreneurship. Dr. Emua also welcomed Peter Amanboyo earlier, co-producer of the Thinking Reimagined podcast, actor, filmmaker, and art director. Welcome, everyone. And Dr. Emua, it's about time to ask the big question. If for 24 hours you had the key to global power, What one action would you make or would you take for women in business? It's over to you, Dr. Amma.
Well, let's start by asking, the first moderator that you introduced, Getty, if you would please share with us, what action would you take? And then we're literally going to have the moderators share with us what their thoughts are on that, speak to it. And then, of course, we would also welcome the delegates.
Let me quickly add that each moderator has 2 minutes for this session. Thank you.
Yes, we might have to go to Olakbeju. Olakbeju, would you please get us started? Thank you. We're dealing with technology today and embracing it.
It's fine. Thank you, Dr. Amma. Thank you very much, Nifemi. And I must also welcome all the moderators and delegates from across the globe. So for me, what I would do, especially with my background in finance, it's clear that in Africa, we have a $42 billion financing gap for African women across business value chains. I won't go Dr. Amma's route of taking away the word gender. However, I will ensure and sign an executive order that will allow women in business, in any category of business, from nano to small to medium scale businesses, to have access to finance. At the beginning, depending on the category of your business, zero interest or at most single digit interest. Because we realize that women typically invest up to 90% of their earnings back into critical sectors and critical areas, health, education, and this helps to ensure social development, social welfare, inclusion in their families. So yes, that will be my executive order. So every woman, no matter your category, you immediately have access to finance for whatever business. I had emphasized that we have a $42 billion financing gap for African women across the business value chains in Africa. And that is a problem I would seek to solve. Access to finance for every woman. And that would be an executive order. Since it's just for 24 hours, we can go through the entire process. An executive order that makes it immediately effective. Every woman, whatever category of business, the finance is readily available to you. And also I would ensure that entrepreneurship education is part of the curriculum for every girl child, right from the primary education to the tertiary education. So the process of learning and failing will be significantly reduced. And finally, an executive order to also ensure there's equal pay for all women and men across all industries. My primary goal would be to create a more equitable and sustainable world for future generations. And that's it for me, Dr. Amma. I'm not sure you got it all, did you?
Yes, I've got the gist of it. Basically, it's about finance, making financial instruments available, single-digit interest, and creating an equitable financial platform. That's what I got. I hope that's the gist of it.
One, and then equal pay. And that's not equal pay. Equal pay for all women and men across all industries, and entrepreneurship education inclusion in the curriculum for every girl child.
Thank you. I hope the moderators are taking notes on this, because I'm not the only one taking notes, because the moderators are keeping track on what is being shared here, because we're going to come back and look at each of this and see if we can come with one big idea that we're going to submit at the end of the day. I know that Yeti is back, so if I can just turn it over to her.
Sorry. Sorry.
Welcome back, and please.
Thank you. Listen, I'm so thrilled to be here. This has been a topic of my life for the last 25 years. And, you know, I've lived in different parts of the world. And what is so special is that every time I meet other women and men engaging in this conversation, you know, we're not that different. It's the same question, same concern, same dream, same.
Ngozi is not here. I don't see her. I think we lost her as well. So we've got Angela Mua with us, and we've also have Busayo. So Angela, please, would you join us in the discussion?
Thank you very much. Yes. Yes, well, if I had the key to global power for 24 hours, and interestingly enough, I think what I have to say is similar to what Biju has already said, but what I had in mind was to implement comprehensive policies to promote gender equality in the workplace and in general. I looking at enforcing equal pay for men and women, equal compensation for equal work, providing access to finance, establish funding programs and initiatives specifically designed to support women-owned businesses and startups, encouraging entrepreneurship, including it in the curriculum, like Biju said. I think that's very important, starting right from primary school so that they start to get the basics of entrepreneurship that will provide them with the necessary skills and knowledge. Invest in educational opportunities and vocational training and promote gender equality, particularly in fields traditionally dominated by men. Promote leadership opportunities, implement quotas of affirmative action policies to increase representation of women in leadership positions across both public and private sectors. And also combat gender-based discrimination, strengthening laws and enforcement mechanisms to protect women from discrimination, harassment, and other barriers to their advancement in the business world. So generally, this is what I would do in 24 hours, I hope, at least initiate the implementation of these policies. Thank you.
Fantastic.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much for sharing. I would also advise that if you have it written down, you can share it with us as a message on Zoom, so we can, it'll be easy to just copy and paste it from here. Let's hear from Busayo Balogun.
Hello again, everyone.
Can we, just because I know Getty is going to leave us soon, can we please have her speak? Busayo, please bear with us. She's got internet issues, she's in a car, so if we could have her address us, that would be wonderful.
Thank you so much. I will try to do it really quick when I'm here. So just say that first thing is through the green transition, but that actually comes back to the untapped potential. The other day I participated in investing in women in Africa, and there come so many findings out of that meeting this week. And that was about talking about imbalances. So the Africa Guarantee Fund and the Africa Development Bank, they had some really interesting input on what to do. Stability, actually, through de-risking all the imbalances we see, that is something I think it's really important to focus on. And for me, there are three things. It's about, you know, the climate situation we see. The economy that we can work on, how we do smarter businesses, and then again, how gender comes into that equation. So the gender change a lot of things. So if we work on a better,
we've lost her again. I hope somebody else was able to get some of it. Oh, there you are.
Oh, I'm
please
so
go ahead.
Last 2 minutes. What I want to share with you is many, many years ago, my father was a feminist before it was modern. Okay. I have two sons. What my father did for me, it took me a lot of time to realize, but he gave us the opportunities. So for me, having a father who was actually a feminist before it was modern to talk about that meant a lot to me as a person. I'm trying to pass that on to my sons And I also talk to my friends who have daughters. What are they going to do? How are we going to change the perception that what does it mean to be a woman and a man? What is right and wrong to do? So I want to share with you that personal experience for me has come so clear in my mind that we have a huge responsibility, but we can't put all the responsibility on the family's table. We also had to look at it at the financial part and also on the structural issues that are in our different countries. So for me, they are very, you know, micro in my own family, but also looking back to the very macro perspectives. So if I had to do something different tomorrow or today, I would talk to the young people I meet about how they see themselves, how they tap into their own untapped potential. Are they aware of it? And how do we support them? Because we have to look into the young people. How do we help them form the world? Because we are leaving them in a world that they have to pick up from us. So that is something that is very, very clear and dear to my heart. And what I actually try to do every day from my own small, let's say, seat in this world. So I think I would that would be from mine now.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much. And I know it's not easy connecting with us whilst you're in motion, but we really appreciate your input. And you talked about de-risking the investing in women, the importance of investing in women, looking at the effects of climate on women, having fathers who invest in their daughters and amplify the opportunities for all equally. And of course, the role of us raising young people who can tap into their potential and see a better future. I hope that I got it. That's what came through. Yes, thank you so much. Thank you. And we hope that you can stay with us as long as possible. Busayo, apologies that we had to interrupt because we know what her, she's in motion and heading to an important meeting. So please join us with your
thank you. Thanks a lot.
Thank you so much.
All right. Thanks a lot. When I heard the question, I mean, I thought it was a very loaded question because some obvious things jumped out and I won't go into them. But if I had 24 hours to do one thing, it would be to use my global powers to focus on an area that I think is often sidelined in these sort of discussions, but which Angela, Olapeju, and Jetty have alluded to in some way. And that would be to improve the leadership outcomes for the next generation of women in business. I could call it the Girls for Business Initiative. And I'll do this by ensuring that I put in place, of course, working with the right stakeholders, a structure to ensure that every Nigerian girl has access to good quality and holistic education that's relevant for the 21st century. And when I say education, I'm not just referring to formal education. I'm referring to both informal education, non-formal education, as well as formal education. So I'm thinking access to mentoring, training hubs, financial literacy, tech, innovation, soft skills, all of those things. And the reason why I propose this is because the stats are very clear. 60% of out-of-school children are girls. 30% of girls aged 9 to 12 have never been to school. So from such a young age, they're already facing barriers, which then amplify as they grow older. In Nigeria, I think according to the stats, over 58% of Nigerian girls get married before the age of 18. And I was reading a report by the World Economic Forum for the global gender gap last year, which indicated that Nigeria is rated 134 out of 146 in educational attainment. So to conclude, if you take this action, what it means is that we'll start to, like Jesse sort of alluded to, condition the minds of every girl child to believe in herself, to dream, to aspire, and to take steps to, procure business success in the future. We don't have to wait until the girls are women. We need to equip them as they develop with the right foundation, the right skills, the confidence that they need to thrive in the future in business, and also with the right mindset, because resilience and fortitude are necessary, right, to overcome the structural barriers and obstacles that we face here in Nigeria. And to conclude, it's great to focus on the women who are already in business, but my goal would be to focus on the next generation of female business leaders and ensure that they're not left behind through holistic, relevant, 21st century geared education. Thank you.
Fantastic. I knew that it would be very difficult to speak after all of you have spoken, and very difficult to also come up with a unique idea because you literally just spoke my mind. Thank you everyone for sharing. I'm going to just quickly welcome a co-producer to intimate us with how the online audience can participate and the platforms on which they can also watch from. Peter Amanboyo.
Okay, well, welcome everyone. Welcome to the moderators and the delegates. And if you're online watching, special welcome to our live stream audience on Facebook, LinkedIn, and YouTube. We welcome your comments, your questions now. And also we welcome and thank Savita for this collaboration. And just to add my two cents, if I had the key for 24 hours, I think Busoyo took it out of my mouth, but I would insist, make it compulsory for every girl child to be educated until higher school level, because that is a big global problem, not just in Nigeria, but the whole world. So I think that's the policy I would do. Every child must be educated, but make it compulsory for every girl child to be educated to higher school level. Thank you.
Fantastic. Let's hear from the delegates and then we'll turn up this conversation in a short while. It's hard to keep track of who's present or not, but I think I saw Lynn Tarrant join us. So you have about 1 minute thereabout, but we'd like to hear your name, your location, your designation, and your response to the question.
A lovely afternoon to you all, awesome and strong woman on this forum, as well as those listening to this podcast. So this is Lynn Tio from the beautiful islands of Seychelles. My career started 15 years ago in the tourism industry as a simple receptionist, and today I hold the position of operations manager for 2 years now at this wonderful, outstanding five-star resort, Fisherman's Cove Hotel. So with global power in my hands for 24 hours, I would change the country's fiscal policy and lending practices by developing a coherent financial policy to ease business startup process for young women entrepreneurs, hence promoting the development of women in business and hopefully eliminating their fear of taking risk to venture independently in entrepreneurship. Thank you.
Fantastic idea. So if you met Dr. Amma in Seychelles, that I can tell Dr. Amma was there for holiday. And she probably wasn't working if she's visited your five-star tourist center. Anyways, I'm just kidding.
That's not true, Nifemi, because you know I did a podcast from Seychelles. Do you remember?
Yes, I did. That was you just taking a break from your holiday.
You're just winding me up to share more information, Nifemi.
All right, so let's hear from, I think I also saw Ajiri Donnelly. Is Ajiri still with us?
Yes, Nifemi, I am here.
Great, please go ahead.
Good afternoon, your name, everyone.
Your designation, your location, and your response to the question. Did you get that?
Okay, good afternoon, everyone. My name is Ajiri Donnelly, and I am an entrepreneur based in Lagos. I run my own stationery store and also run financial literacy clubs for schools. It's a very interesting question because I'm actually in that line for young girls, financial literacy for girls in schools as well. So what will I do if I had the keys to global power for 24 hours? First of all, I will empower or institute a Ministry of Women Affairs, and their KPIs will be to ensure that the curriculum in schools is reviewed, especially for girls, and also to ensure that all girls receive free education from primary to secondary for the low income earners. Then also to mandate banks to adopt communities of young girls and women in their community. So for example, the CBN financial inclusion mandates all banks to adopt schools. So the Ministry of Women Affairs will mandate banks to actually adopt community of girls, either church groups, religious groups, schools in any community, to ensure that they actually receive the prerequisite education for financial affairs on issues. So that's what I will do, empower or institute a Ministry of Women, Ministry of Women Affairs. Yeah. Thank you.
And hopefully you'll find the right person to lead it. Since you're probably going to be in a higher position, given what the question says. But thank you for sharing, fantastic idea, a very brilliant
thank
one.
Thank you.
Let's now hear from Kay. Let me see, who do we have here? Diwari, yes, I think I saw Diwari. Diwari Peterside, you're next, please.
This is the Thinking Reimagined podcast, sponsored by Allied Empowerment. Allied Empowerment Consultancy offers leadership and innovation through bespoke human development solutions, brain-based leadership, and coaching. Allied Empowerment empowers business leaders, teams, and individuals to intentionally accentuate desired outcomes built on trust, curiosity, psychological safety, engagement, and communication. Allied Empowerment, thriving in a sustainable and valued manner.
Okay, good afternoon, everyone. My name is Dwayne Peterson. I am a lawyer within the public sector in maritime regulation. Everyone has said basically everything I've written down. So I will just say that for my own answer, I would initiate a policy which mandates equal expectations on the execution of roles in caring for the family, mainly because family care is normally placed on the woman, and women now tend to find it difficult to balance their roles as caregiver and business person. So I would initiate a policy which mandates equal expectation, meaning that the fathers, partners, or whomever are also expected to provide or to execute their roles in caring for and raising their children in that
light.
So that's my contribution.
Great. Thank you. Thank you so much. Thank you for sharing with us. Let's hear from Angela Henter. Angela.
Hello. Hi. Good afternoon, everybody. Nice to join you all. It's been fascinating listening to everybody's ideas. So I'm Angela Henter. I'm located in Lagos in Nigeria. My role is I'm the COO of Charterhouse Lagos, which we are building right now. And my response sort of covers quite a few other responses, actually, which is really interesting. I would create a women's world portal. The idea being that this will help us leveling up. Access to all information needed for young female entrepreneurs to be able to start up their own business. So they would have access to capital, low interest loans, already been mentioned, mentors, legal and regulatory advice, NGOs, because there are NGOs out there, pairing them up, also advice and assistance with childcare and work-life balance, training and education in business, which has already been covered, business incubators and accelerators, and this all would be free. And this would all be accessible in one place, so you don't have to hunt people down, garner favors, talk to people who talk to people on your behalf. You can actually reach one element of truth or one place where everything is correct and you could get that advice and you know you're aiming in the right direction, and it will level us up spectacularly, I think. And that's my idea.
Fantastic. And thankfully, it will be a genderless world because men will become so jealous with your woman's world portal. So perhaps we'll just call it Human's World Portal.
Human's World.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Fantastic idea. All right, let's hear now from Lubna Karim. Your name, your designation, your location, and your response to the question.
All right, whilst we're waiting for, I'm going to actually go offline for a second and see if I can reach her directly because I can see she's there, but perhaps she's having some technical challenges. Perhaps we can come together and start to look at some of the ideas that have been put forth. And I'm going to call on Olabeju. Can I call on you to sort of spearhead this discussion? Because now is a chance for us to have a discussion and try to reach a consensus in terms of the big idea. And if we can't get it to a big idea, perhaps two big ideas, because the conversation has really, in my opinion, gone from genderless world, which is my idea, to education and finance. Those seem to be the three key pillars that I see. So can I have you carry on the conversation? And I'm just going to go off for a moment and see if I can reach Lubna directly, because I know she's there. Thank you.
Okay, that's fine. Thank you, Dr. Ama. And if I will take it from where Dr. Ama stopped, I think I completely agree with her. Three things that have come through in the conversations so far have been the need to provide equitable financing, accessible financing for women in business in Africa. That's one theme that came through. The second theme that came through was a combination of free education for every girl child and inclusion of entrepreneurship education in the curriculum from primary school to tertiary education for the girl child. I would like to now take this forward to Dr. Angela for her to also confirm if you are aligned that those are the two main ideas. And I also think that the focus on finance and education are also still tilted towards ensuring access for every woman and also inclusion for every woman across the continent. And I would like to confirm, Dr. Angela, do you agree with me as those being the ideas we should push forward as being our one or two big ideas? Or do you have anything to add or remove from what I've shared now?
That's me, right? Because I heard Dr. Angela.
Yes, that's you.
Well, unfortunately, I have to admit, I was just replying a message to somebody, so I lost a bit of what you said, but I believe you talked about, maybe just quickly recap, please.
Yes, I emphasized that Dr. Ama mentioned that the conversation around gender has evolved into finance and education. And I reiterated that the movement from gender to finance and education are still aimed at achieving the goal of ensuring inclusivity in our society, where every woman is included and there's equality between both genders. So providing finance is also supposed to lead to a seemingly genderless world. Providing education is supposed to lead to a seemingly genderless world. And we're supposed to finalize with the big idea or two big ideas. So my question to you was that one thing that has, from feedback from quite a number of the delegates and the moderators in the room today, has been the need for financing, bespoke financing, single digit financing, a financing school, some unique, applicable, realistic, accessible financing instruments for women-led, women-owned businesses. That's one thing that has come through. The second thing that has come through has been education. Education for the girl child, free education for the girl child from no matter the course, and then the one that emphasized the curriculum on entrepreneurship for the girl child. Of course, we also had conversations around equal pay and equal access for leadership, but financing and education are the two things that seem to have resonated with quite a number of the delegates in the room today. I was asking if you agreed with that or you wanted to add something else that could be part of our big idea, or there was something you wanted to remove from what I shared.
Okay, I see. Okay, yes, I totally agree with you. I mean, the education for one, like I said, at that time I said, they could start at the primary level, you know, break it down so that they're growing into the idea of entrepreneurship. And of course, the it'll be backed up with the vocational training. So it won't just be focused on education as we see it now, but more like you said, like someone said, realistic, you know, what is very useful in this day and age. So yes, I totally agree with you. That is very key. Because a lot of women, young women, as we see, you know, around, they're doing so much, you know, right from their 20s, they're setting up businesses. So, I mean, if we can continue this, if we can develop this and ensure that we get more of them, not just we get more women, setting up businesses like this and having that frame of mind to become very successful entrepreneurs. And of course, the financing is very crucial. We've heard of instances where a woman will go to a bank to try and get a business a loan for their business, and they'll ask you, where's your husband? You know, so we don't want any of that crap. We want to make sure that, that women have easy access to finance to build up their businesses or to develop their businesses. So, yes, I totally agree with you.
Thank you.
I want to bring some. Yeah. Oh, so sorry. I'm sorry because I went off. No, Tom, back again.
Yes.
I really want to come back to my response, which is genderlessness, because when you don't have gender, the things that we're talking about now will not be the question. It won't matter. It's the fact that they're using gender to create policies and have bias and discrimination that we're having this conversation. If we got rid of this thing called gender, we won't be discussing equitable education, equitable access to financing, equitable recognition, getting rid of bias, equal remuneration. It won't matter. That is my proposition. To get rid of the word that is causing all of us to have anxiety about financing, about equal access to pay, to health, to housing, to work. Financial inclusion is what we're talking about here. A place to live, human rights. All of these things are predicated by one word, gender. And once you use gender to relegate 50% of the world's population to second-class citizens, you've created a bias, you've created discrimination. The reason we have gender equality as one of our goals on the sustainable development goals is to get to a place where there's equality, equal access, equal of everything, equitably. So I come back to this proposition about gender. This word is the reason why we're having this discussion today. One word. Gender bias, gender discrimination, gender violence, gender. Why?
It's a bit drastic to remove the word gender. I mean, what do we replace it with?
I think, Dr. Amma, I agree with you when it comes to the idea of gender being something that we do not have to consider. I think maybe the other moderators, including myself, are just we're finding it a bit difficult to completely embrace the thought of completely eradicating gender. Maybe we're not as forward-looking as you are when it comes to that concept. And maybe we're overthinking it, because I'm looking at the biological disposition of a certain category of Homo sapien. And I'm wondering, if we eradicate the word gender completely, how will that play out eventually? Those are the considerations, but I agree with you on the thought process that if we're not thinking about gender, we probably will be thinking about equality, because that immediately makes everyone equal.
Because there are the woes of, there are the challenges that Dr. Ama raised, but there's also the uniqueness that gender brings, especially when you talk about the biological component. I mean, we can't completely erase that, if that's my opinion. But I just wanted to say that the conversation is open right now, and anyone can jump in, please. Go ahead, ma'am.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I hear Dr. Ama, but I think it's a little bit more complex than that, because by virtue of being a woman, there are physical characteristics, there are physiological characteristics that will automatically make some people biased towards me, right? So by virtue of being a biological woman, I am at risk of prejudice or unconscious bias. And so beyond the social construct, there's still the other element to it, which is the reality that being a woman, being born a woman, comes with its own unique set of challenges, regardless of whatever name you give it or categorize it or classify it as. That's what I was going to say.
So I think
Yeah.
I think we're mixing the gender with sex.
Sex.
Okay? Your sex is different from gender, and we're mixing them up. I am biologically a woman, your biological woman needs biological. That's your sex. That's your sexual assignment at birth. That is different from gender. So I know that I'm forward thinking, as Pedro has indicated. I'm thinking beyond that, but I really want us, I understand very much, we're talking about gender access, women gender access. Even the word woman, you know, woman gender access to education.
You're not thinking of removing that word too, Dr. Ama.
I didn't say that, Nefemi. Stop jumping the gun. I'm talking about gender. How the policies and the policies and the social constructs of gender have forced women into a position where they are not getting equal access to the things that they're entitled to by virtue of being human. That's it. Women should have equal access to financing. Women should have equal access to health, to housing. There are women here in Nigeria, I hear that there are many women who can't even go and get housing unless there's a male that accompanies them. And in some cases, the male then gets the place so that they can move in. Why? Why are we talking about equal education for girls to secondary school? It should be a given, but that is, again, policies based on gender. If you're a woman in some cultures or in some religions, then you should be able to get married at a certain age. You should learn certain skills. We're talking about in the family situation, that, you know, it shouldn't be, the owner shouldn't be pushed onto the woman, that each parent should participate. Well, again, it's a discussion, so I'll let the others join in. And Lubna said she was going to join us in about 5 minutes, and I know it's already after one, but if we can come to a consensus. Oh, hello, Lubna is here. Can we have Lubna just speak, please, and share with us what she would do? Because she's joining us all the way from Morocco.
Hello, thank you so much, Dr. Ama, for inviting me. And I am very, very honored to stand before you today as a representative of Morocco and North Africa. So I am a doctor in economic science and entrepreneur. And in the same time, I'm president of AWIP, African Women in Processing from North Africa. So on this significant occasion of World Business Women's Days 2023, today we gather not only to celebrate the remarkable achievements of women in the world of business, but to explore the transformative power of thinking. in Morocco and in North Africa, we are witnessing the remarkable resilience, innovation, and entrepreneurship, entrepreneurial spirit of our women. They have reimagined industry, broken through barriers, and create opportunities where none existed. So our commitment to pushing the boundaries or touch of traditional thinking, and it's an approach that has already produced incredible results. So entrepreneurial in Morocco and the other Arabic country, it's not easy for us. It's the it's all the time challenge, all the time request to find a good opportunity to be there and to assist to our chance to represent our contribution. So I'm agree with you, Dr. Ama, about gender. You know, entrepreneur, it's entrepreneur. Business, it's business, and it's not easy for women and men. But for women, it's more complicated. It's more hard because when you go to the meeting and you say women and young women with the big projects, oh, that's nice. We women, and you think about it, that's good. And this thinking, this mindset, it's the first barrier and the big barrier of us. So I think as women we are, we need to prove all the time what we can do, what we are, and what we can do it. And it's not like, it's like ministry, you know? When we talk about women ministry, it's all the time women. He has the role of minister of women. When it's a ministry of meaning, ministry of economy, ministry of science or other things, no, we think about men. But when we think about women, child, social, it's women. This is what I think. It's not, I think it's not, it's in all the Africa, it's not just in Morocco or North Africa or Arabic country, but I think now we have this this change of thinking. The people understand if we need to develop our country, if we need to develop our continent, we need to say the women, not just women, but it's the person with opportunity, with competence, with projects, with capacity to do the big thing. So this is what I think about this, and I hope, because my English it's not very very good, but I thank you a lot for your invitation and for your intervention. Thank you so much, ladies.
Well, I think your English is fantastic.
It is fantastic, and we understood you perfectly. Thank you so much, Lubna. Thank you for joining us all the way from Morocco. I'm going to turn this back to Olagbeju, because Olagbeju, you know, we need to come to a consensus. Is it one idea, two big ideas? Let's wrap it up.
Okay, thank you, Dr. Ama. I think we're going to quickly run this with the moderators. So I think the two moderators, I would like us to quickly have a quick look at gender, finance, education. What are the two big ideas we're going to take from those three? So starting with Dr. Ama's view on us taking away that word gender completely, the need for access to finance, and then the need for education. I think Madam Emua has already given us her thoughts on that. And I think I'm not sure Busayo has completed her submission on that. So
Busayo, are you there? Yes, you are.
Yes.
Please let us know what are the top two or the only one big idea you would prefer?
So, I mean, we have three. If I was going to further shortlist, and again, I just want to put it on record that I completely hear and agree to a large degree with Dr. Ama's submission about gender. But if we can only put one action forward, it would be, or let's say two actions, it would be education and finance. I would also find a way, because I really liked Angela's idea regarding the portal. So I would find a way to infuse the portal into education, because for me, her suggestion speaks to access to information, access to even finance, financial information, and not just the finance, but financial knowledge as well, because I think finance, access to finance and financial knowledge go hand in hand. So my final answer would be education and finance, and education in the context of education that is holistic, so inclusive of formal, non-formal, and informal education. That would be my final answer. And I would say that we should also conduct more research into gender, a genderless world, the interconnectedness between sex and gender, and the cultural context, because obviously Nigeria is a very unique country, and whatever policies we apply have to be adaptable to where we currently are. That's what I'll say. Thank you.
Thank you, Busayo. That was a lot, but I'll still just focus on gender and finance as your submissions. You agree with education and finance.
Yes.
You agree with gender, but the applicability is still a concern for you. So you think we can do some more work in drilling down on that.
Perfect.
Okay.
Thank you.
I'm so sorry to interrupt. Yeah, Angela, what do you have? I was going to ask Angela. I am Angela. I was going to say, can we just very quickly ask the other delegates, you know, what are their thoughts? You know, gender, finance, education. As a matter of fact, Angela's idea of the woman's portal, you can create a woman's portal that includes education and finance as a way to hold on to both of them. So we could submit that's an idea, the women's portal that will hold those two categories is a possibility.
Exactly.
Angela is not in her head.
I am not in my head. Yes, I'm hearing everything that everybody's saying, and the education and finance, of course, are absolutely key. Without the education, then actually nothing else really follows. Yeah, my portal idea is that we can place everything that every young woman needs in one place, and that we could actually have a top of the agenda in the portal would be education and finance, but below that could flow legal and regulatory and education in a much broader term, so training really as well, education in business. I love what you're all saying. I think it's enlightening, actually. I found Nigeria very enlightening as far as pushing forward the female agenda. And I think this is just a superb idea. Let's see if we can get it off the ground.
Well, let's see. We're going to have to submit it to Savitas and World Business Women. And I also want us to go back to something that Lubna mentioned. Whilst most of us here are in Nigeria, based in Nigeria, we have to recognize that we are representing Africa. So we've got someone from Seychelles, we've got someone from Morocco. There was a lady who tried to join from Ghana, one from Kenya, and they were having technical issues. That's why they have not spoken. So I really tried to bring people from across Africa so that we can have something that represents Africa. And Lubna was very clear in terms of recognizing that when you start to look at the culture and the religion, this thing of gender really plays heavily. Even those of us in Nigeria know that it does in the northern part of Nigeria. So we need to keep that in mind as we move forward. It's not about our locale, but something that amplifies the continent as a whole, because we're all representing the continent. So Lynn. Oh, Lynn is still here. Lynn, what says you about what is being proposed?
Well, I definitely agree with the three concept is kind of connected at the end of the day, the education, finance, and also gender. But from a Seychelles point of view, like I mentioned earlier, having a more ease of access to finance will be the key for anyone who's starting up in business, because this is really, really a huge setback for many, many young entrepreneurs who's trying to launch themselves and put themselves out there. So yeah, financial access would be a huge, huge step forward. Yeah, thank you.
Thank you. No worry. Some final words, comments, and then we're going to go to AJ as we conclude this session. And I'm so grateful for your time, everyone.
Yes, I agree with everyone. I agree on this most especially because I understand that especially for women in Nigeria, funding is very, very difficult to come by. It was one of the points I had written down, but it's been captured already. I had also mentioned affirmative action in our legislation, but that was mentioned as well. So these are very brilliant points. I agree with them all.
Thank you. AJ, Ajuri, are you still with us? I can see your photo.
Yes. Yes, I am. Hello. Okay. Fantastic ideas put forward by everyone, especially like the portal that covers both education and financial information. Well, final thought is, how about having a ministry that is empowered to ensure that all these things we've talked about are implemented, like Ministry of Women Affairs and Girls Affairs, Women and Girls Affairs. And the portal sits on that. The education and financial information is actually put on that portal that is manned by this ministry because they are empowered. That's my final thought, a ministry that is empowered to execute everything that we've discussed. Thank you.
Well, thank you very much. And I would say that all of us are familiar with the various ministries. And Lubna also alluded to what it means to have a woman's ministry where she is and how it's looked at. And we certainly have seen what happens with the ministries of women in many of the places where we are located. So the idea of a leveling up, I'm calling it the leveling up, Angela, the leveling up women's portal, which will probably address issues from gender to education to finance. Somebody brought up, I'm trying to remember who it is now. Somebody brought up something else that just escapes me right now, but perhaps we'll look at the notes. I know one person who is taking very good notes, Olapeju. So I know Olapeju will help me to come up with a summation that we can submit to them. I want to take this time to thank every single one of you who is here on this platform with this discussion, but also everyone who has joined us virtually. We are having some challenges with LinkedIn, but we do have this recording and we will transfer it to the LinkedIn profile. My LinkedIn profile is where it will sit, like all other recordings, so you can access it and share it with others. I thank you all for your time. I thank you for your insights and contributions to this discussion. I hope that this is not the last discussion and that we will come back and continue to flesh this out and discuss it and figure out how each of us in our locale can start to implement these things and make everyone accountable for us not to come back to this issue of gender. Because one of the things that we're all living with as women is the bias, the discrimination, the inequity, the inequality, and all that comes with it. Thank you very much, everyone, for being here today. And have a lovely day and enjoy World Business Women's Day.
Thank you.
Thank you, everyone. Bye for
thank
now.
Thank you, Dr. Amma. Thank you.
Thank you, Amma. Thank you.
This has been a Thinking Reimagined podcast.
The executive producer is Dr. Amma. Co-producer Peter Ammon Boyle.
The podcast is edited by Nelken and it is moderated by Nifemi Oguntoyin.
Thinking Reimagined emphasizes the importance of transformational conversations which have as their aim the bringing about of the rich diversity of thoughts and, most importantly, powerful and applicable effective solutions and change.
The views, opinions and contributions of the panelists are exclusively theirs and do not reflect the opinions of Thinking Reimagined producers or personnel. Thank you for listening,
and we hope you have enjoyed this episode.
We invite you to subscribe to Thinking Reimagined on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Play, and other outlets.
We look forward to presenting another riveting episode next week.
Thinking Reimagined podcast is produced by Live Abundantly.
We welcome your thoughts and invite you to visit our website, livesabundantly.com.
Or you can follow us on social media on Live Abundantly 8.
Thinking Reimagined, changing the mindset for a better global society.